when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, God bless you. I'll tell you what, no matter how down I am, no matter how bad the week is, I just continue my running, getting ready for my next marathon. But if I could just make it in here to the studio, to this speaker, everything, this microphone, everything, my troubles just melt away. And three of the reasons they melt away, well, actually four. We have Miss Lizzie, our 16-year-old wizard at the board. She's running the board tonight. She's our favorite person running the board. And we also had Dr. Hill in the first of the hour. And the other two reasons that melt my covers, troubles melted away, we have our brother, Paul Frum, on all the way from Canada. He's coming on tonight, and he's going to be interviewed by my little sister, my blood sister, Monica the Braveheart. Matter of fact, Monica was mentioned in a card, in case y'all tune in late. Monica was mentioned tonight in a card. A donor and a listener sent a card in, and he said, I'll just read the last of it again in case you're just tuning in. He says, love the third hour of the show when Miss Braveheart, he uses that, and I've nicknamed her. That's my name. It's trademark. Miss Braveheart, a.k.a. baby sister, a.k.a. Monica. He said, when Braveheart and Miss Nancy come on, is a powerhouse hour. Anyway, he said, Micah in Communist Maryland. So anyway, for that aside, people, I've got to get that out of the way. We had, like I said, we had Dr. Hill on the first hour. We were talking about the secret out-of-state fugitive arrest warrants being issued out of Virginia for a lot of people. Dr. Hill doesn't think people like me will be in danger because I didn't go to the Tiki Light parade. That's one regret I always had. I didn't even know they're going to have the Tiki Torch parade. I sure would have liked to have gone, but they're sending out arrest warrants for all that stuff. That's all I can say. If you missed that, get the archives of the first hour, because now we're transitioning to the second hour. Like I said, Sister Monica Braveheart, she is going to interview our brother Paul Frum, and now my time is over. I'm just bringing them in and out of the breaks, and I'm shutting up. Go ahead, Sister Monica. Go ahead and introduce our brother Paul Frum, and just take it away.
Okay. Thank you very much, Eddie. Those were very kind words that the listener wrote in, and I'd like to thank him for that. And yeah, so we're going to talk about a fellow Canadian today. His name is Leslie Borey, and Paul Frum is going to give us some more details about him and about his case. This is a name that probably most of your listeners have never heard of before. I would say he is one of those brave men, and when we say, where are all the men, where have the men gone, you know, they've kind of been deballed and emasculated through all kinds of means. It starts in the womb with, you know, too much estrogen boosting pesticides and whatnot. But anyway, that's getting off track. But this is a real man, and he calls himself a politician, not because he has ever been elected, but he has run in quite a few elections, has never gotten in, because he does call out the lampshades, as he sometimes calls it in a very, you know, comedic fashion, but he does call them the Jews. So before I bring Paul Frum in, I just want to say I did listen to the first hour with Dr. Hill, and this hour segues very, very nicely from some of the things that you talked about with Dr. Hill. That was an excellent hour. I would encourage listeners to go back to the archives if they did not hear it. Some things that I took note of that are applicable. The government is the enemy of the people. Now, I'm not sure if Dr. Hill said that directly, but I'm saying that. The government is the enemy of the people, and I know that that was the meaning of a lot of your conversation with him. And the only way they do things is by force. Now, that means, you know, the police services, yeah, they're doing their jobs, upholding laws and legal things. they pretend to be laws, but these are just blots of toner on paper, like my brother Alfred likes to say. And, you know, I used to believe that maxim that the pen is mightier than the sword. I do not believe it anymore. I have come to the conclusion that that is another Jewish mind-controlling type of, you know, maxim, that they want us to think that the pen is mightier than the sword, because it does, and it is, setting us up to be sheep, to be drawn into the slaughter. And, you know, there is a war going on. It is an active war. It's not the conventional war. So there are so many people who still don't even understand it, that we are in a war, but they are actively killing us. And, okay, before I talk too much more, these are things that Leslie Borey, and then in the second hour of a broadcast that he did on February 11th, 2023, on the Brantford News, which is his channel on BitChute, he had a guest in the second hour, and this, people can go there and find it. We can talk more about that to direct people there, because I would say it's an excellent 2 hours. And 2 days after that, though, they did do a house raid. Those police thugs, I call them thugs because they are defending, or they are upholding the government's decrees. And the government is the enemy of the people. So anyway, this is a roundabout way. I want to bring Paul Frommen. He is the director and founder of CAFE, which is, oh my goodness. I better just let Paul introduce himself. I know it so well, and right now I have a mental block what it stands for, but it's Freedom of Expression. I'm the same way. Freedom of Expression, Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression, that's it. And Paul has done terrific work for decades and decades. Paul is a soldier who's been in the trenches for a good long time. So I salute Paul Frommen, and I'd like to bring him in now. So welcome, Paul.
Well, thank you so much, Monica. It's always a great pleasure to be on Blood River Radio. I love the theme, and I love the assertiveness. The introduction, what Blood River was, how a tiny band of Christian white people held off a tremendous attack by people who were pretty good warriors. The Zulus were no slouches. And, you know, it's a great day for our people. We have to celebrate our people again in every way. We've got to recover white pride. But as to the about Leslie Borey, I've known Leslie since 2018. We both ran for the same small party in the provincial election. It's called the Freedom of Choice Party. I'm sorry, Citizens' Choice Party. I got to know him. He started coming to some of my political meetings in Hamilton. We shared the picket line supporting Dr. James Sears, who was the editor of a satirical newspaper called Your Ward News. He was flung in jail for 1 year for supposedly spreading hatred against radical feminists and Jews. Anyway, Leslie Borey is a freedom fighter. He's a man with really strong opinions, and he started his own, I guess you'd say, podcast. He calls it, you know, a TV show called Brantford, and that's the city he lives in, Brantford TV. And he's dealt with a number of cases and issues. And as Monica was saying, on February the 11th, he had a 2-hour show, and he made some pretty strong comments about police being our enemy, about politicians being our enemy, and about the hostile nature of organized Jewish groups being the enemy of freedom. And these comments so incensed somebody, and we're not sure yet whom, that 2 days later, the police, that would be on the Monday, the police raided him at his place of work as he was coming off his shift as a machinist. There the police were with rifles. One of these high-impact takedowns, Les Borey was unarmed. You don't have the legal right to carry a handgun with very few exceptions in Canada. So there was no danger to the police. Les was at work, so he wasn't surrounded by militant friends or supporters. This is a sort of totalitarian state intimidation. You know, not only, you know, shake him up, but shake everybody else up. People at work, you can imagine what they thought. Well, what did he do? Is he a drug pusher? Is he, you know, did he murder his wife? Or so he was taken off to jail. At the same time, his wife received a phone call. Now, she works from home, and the phone call was inquiring, did she keep weapons in the house, and so on. So she was ordered to come out of the house backwards with her hands behind her back, and she was handcuffed. She's put in a car, and then the police ransacked the place. Damn. They had a warrant, but they did not show her. So she doesn't know what they were
We have to go to our first break, Paul. The first break of the second hour. We'll be right back. Don't lose your spot. That's a fascinating story. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're not wasting any more time. We're going right back to my brother, your fighter. He's been fighting for us since the 60s. And he go right back to you, Paul.
Yeah, okay. So Les Borey was arrested on Monday the 13th of February. His wife was arrested at the same time. And she sort of thought there was something wrong. She heard cars squealing to a halt. She got the sense that there were people out there. Well, then came the phone call, and she had to come out her front door with her hands behind her back like a, you know, some disreputable person. She was handcuffed, put in the car. and they ransacked the house. She has never seen the whole warrant. Okay, they took her computers, his computers, her guns, his guns, and we're not sure what all else, some flash drives, I think. She has never received an inventory of what was taken, and that's totally illegal. When they conduct a proper raid under Canadian law with a warrant, after they've taken whatever they feel they've got the right to take, they have to give you a receipt, an inventory of what they took. She hasn't received that. Anyway, she was released and no charges were laid against her. She later found out that the police had laid one of those bands with spikes on it. I forget what they call that exactly, across the road, as if they were taking down a dangerous, let's say, biker with all sorts of associates around. So this is a middle-aged lady, for heaven's sakes. This was just naked state intimidation. What would have been necessary to get her to surrender? All they had to do was ask her, and they didn't arrest her. It was a way of just shaking them up. So so he was then charged with several things. One, unsafe storage of firearms. I won't go into that because it's largely a Mickey Mouse charge, and my friends in the gun fraternity tell me that will be easily beaten. So that's not that important. Three counts of uttering threats. I'm not quite sure against whom, but I can guess. It's in general against the organized Jewish lobby, against some police and against politicians. I am told that uttering threats usually is not that serious, unless it's against a particular person. Like, Eddie, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to come around to your place tonight. I'm going to smash your windows and, shoot your dog and so on. Well, that could be a bit more serious. I'm talking about to a particular individual. And then the third charge, which we are still having trouble getting our heads around, is incitement to hate. Now, at first, I thought that was a charge under our notorious hate law. I'm going to skip a lot of the legal reasons because they don't think of any real interest to most people, and certainly not most Americans. But we think it's now sort of public incitement. Now, these are relatively minor charges. Has been to bail court. I've lost track. I think it's about 12 times. He still does not have bail. He's been in jail now for 2 months and counting. You have to understand, this is entirely contrary to some of the reforms brought in by our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. Now, they may be good, they may be bad, but we really have a system of catch and release. So we've got all sorts of dangerous thugs that get picked up tonight for beating somebody up or something terrible. They go appear in court the next morning. Judge releases them basically on their own recognizance. So please show up in court when you have a court date. They're back on the street that afternoon. The cops catch them again. That's not a good system, but. What the law, the current law says, is that a person should be entitled to a quick and easy bail with the least onerous conditions possible. Well, what's Les Borie doing in jail? It's political. We are just like the old Soviet Union that Alexander Solzhenitsyn talked about. He said, I up until maybe. I read Solzhenitsyn. I was of the opinion that, whatever you say about the Russian communist boy, but there's law and order. They wouldn't put up with any, street crime. As a matter of fact, there's an awful lot of street crime, muggings, rapings, assaults. And Solzhenitsyn pointed out that the communists considered the criminals a sympathetic class. And that's really what our cultural Marxist leftist elite does, too. They're always making excuses for the criminals. Oh, it's mental health. Oh, it's racism. Oh, it's, any number of excuses. Wow. But the sort of explain that that was useful for the communists if as long as the crook didn't, rape the commissar's daughter or steal his Lada, they were useful for scaring people, keeping people down. If you're scared to go out at night because you might be mugged, you're probably not going to go off to some, underground political meeting. So that actually the criminals were useful. So Solzhenitsyn said, life was not good in the gulag and the prison camps, but the people who were treated most severely were the politicals. So, you say something wrong, big trouble. You go and mug somebody, well, not so severe. That's what's happened to Lasbori. I could give you all sorts of examples, but there was one just the other day. Some kid, well, we're not allowed to know his name because he's under 18, but in Montreal, he turned himself in because he was caught on video a couple of months ago shoving a couple of Hasidic Jews. Now, normally that's not a politically incorrect crime. They weren't hurt, but, you shoved them, they fell to the ground and probably carried on and wept and wailed. But so he turned himself in. He was released that day to the custody of his parents. So, okay, you do something. You commit an act of violence, or albeit minor violence, but you commit an act of violence, you're back on the street. You have a bad thought, or you say something bad, contrary to the political elite, you reside in jail. And that's what we're doing now. CAFE's been assisting the defense team, and we're now trying to get together with the Crown, or the prosecution, to see if we can't have a quick trial. I don't hold out too much hope of that because our system is so bollocksed up that his own lawyer figures he'll be lucky to see a trial in 18 months. We are so, the system is so screwed up, you wouldn't believe it. That's the situation. So we've got a political prisoner. We've been trying to organize people to come and go and visit him in jail, and we'll be looking for other ways to support him.
Go ahead, Monica.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought you might want to say something there, Eddie. But yeah, there's actually so much I'd like to say about this whole thing. I guess just starting with this so-called justice system, I think it is obvious, but perhaps it needs to be said anyway, that the justice system is serving the criminals. Now, the criminal cabal, aka the government, because the government, those who are there, voted in, they are puppets who are being told what to do by the puppeteers, those behind the veil, those who we are not allowed to criticize lest we be called anti-Semitic, so everybody knows who I'm talking about. So we cannot actually hope to resolve our issues even through the justice system when we have a justice system that is not just merely corrupt by perhaps a few scandals here and there, but no, the whole system is serving the criminal cabal. So, I mean, that's one comment here. I think that the things that Paul described about having the real criminals, like the violent people out on the streets, yes, it serves their agenda very well because it does destabilize our society and it serves the communist agenda very well. And of course, they are afraid of people like Leslie Borey, and that's why he is in jail. And I do hear the music, but after the break, we will continue. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Monica. You're doing an excellent job. I'm just sitting on cruise control. I'll get a question or so or a comment when we come back, but it's going to be very brief. Hold on to your seats, folks. Be right back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. The U.S. Embassy is warning Americans in Sudan to shelter in place until further notice. Sudan's military has agreed to help evacuate citizens from the United States and other countries as fighting rages on in Khartoum between the army and a rival group. So far, 400 people have been killed, including one American. A new survey finds that a majority of Americans think climate change is a top priority.
According to a CBS YouGov poll, 53% of respondents said climate change needs to be addressed right now, while 14% said it should be dealt with in the next few years. U.S. Climate Special Envoy John Kerry says we're already starting to see the effects in extreme weather.
We're seeing things happen that really were the stuff of fiction as recently as, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, but now no longer.
Still, nearly a quarter of respondents in the poll said climate change doesn't need to be addressed at all. I'm Karen Sloan.
The Supreme Court is allowing the popular abortion drug mifepristone to remain on the market for now. Justices rejected a lower court ruling that would have banned the sale of the drug. The case will continue before the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court next month. The FAA is going to head into the busy travel season with no leader. Acting FAA Chief Billy Nolen is stepping down. The Biden administration has had trouble filling that post. The previous pick, Phil Washington, withdrew his name from consideration after Republican leaders claimed he lacked the experience and qualifications needed for the job. And it's no Earth Day at the beach for many in Southern California. A major sewage spill has forced the closure of many popular Los Angeles County beaches.
It's going to be a nice weekend and can't go to the beach. It's also very trashed and polluted. So, yeah, it just sucks.
An estimated 250,000 gallons of sewage spilled into the L.A. River due to an equipment failure. This is USA News.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text STAPLE to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text STAPLE to 321-321. That's STAPLE to 321-321.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm just going to make a quick comment. What we were talking about during the break with the wonderful, the one and only Paul Fromm and the one and only Sister Braveheart. Well, I guess what we've been talking about with Samuel Francis, like Paul said, he's been dead. I can't believe he's been gone 18 years. The great one and only Samuel Francis.
I believe it was 2005. So 18 years. My God.
It's been a long time, way too long. But he coined, I can encourage you people to go up, look up the articles written by Samuel Francis. Paul said he coined the term. Tyranny of the mob. It's called anarcho-tyranny, laws to punish the innocent. And if you want to see that in action, look at Charlottesville, look at January 6th, look at all those incidents like yeah. that. Look at Chicago. Look at the burning down of Ferguson, Missouri. Look at the burning down of Minneapolis, St. Paul. On and on and on. The innocent always get punished. Well, anyway, I got to shut up and go right back to Miss Monica. I just wanted you people to know that's what we were talking about during the break. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Okay, one thing I want to reiterate for people to listen to Leslie Borey in his own words. I really think these are two very important hours. In the second hour, he has a guest call in. Now, this was on Revolution Radio, Freedom Slips. I think it was Studio B, I can't remember exactly. But then at the end of the second hour, Leslie says, oh, he's trying to figure something out. And they said, oh, that's weird. Oh, I think we got cut off in the second hour. But luckily, I have it all on video because he did independently video himself on that so that it is preserved. Now, go to BitChute. I don't know if it's on other channels, but it's on the BitChute platform. And type in Brantford News. Brantford News. So that's Brantford News. And then you will find Leslie Borey's channel. Click on that. And then you will find that the last two shows that he put there, the last two videos, obviously, because since then he's been in jail, are this two-hour program. In the second hour, he has a caller call in whose name I don't think we know, but this was a very, very powerful hour. Eddie, you will really, really like this.
I sure will.
Somebody said he talks just like you.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, so anyway, and you're talking about solutions and whatnot. Yeah, it's time. So I'm not going to say too much more about it, but I would really encourage people. I would also encourage people to download this and re-upload it. Download it and re-upload it, because we do know that probably, you know, somebody in Tel Aviv is listening to us right now, and then they'll try to, you know, get that channel nixed or get those censored off the internet, because obviously they got really scared about it and went and ransacked his home and arrested him and aren't letting him out anytime soon. So they don't like those words. And remember, Leslie Borey calls himself a politician. He has always tried to resolve issues with words. Now, again, that day he was using only words, and he is in jail for only words. But I guess it's the content of his words that scare our enemy so much. And I'd like to hand it back to Paul Frum.
Yeah, you know, I always worry that we talk about an injustice or what's happened to our brother Leslie Borey. He's a political prisoner, and I don't want, much as I want to inform people, I don't want this just to be entertainment. And I would challenge people to see what they could do about it. Now, you might say, well, I'm living in Tennessee. What can I do about, you know, Leslie Borey in jail in Milton, Ontario? Well, there's something you could do. Why not write to the Canadian consulate in the city nearest you, or the Canadian Embassy in Washington, and ask a question? Say, I'm very concerned about, Leslie Borey is being held in prison for a nonviolent, his words on a internet podcast. Does your country believe in freedom of speech, or have you joined that long list of wretched countries like a long list of them, Red China, a whole lot of others, Turkey, that keep dissidents in jail? Just ask the question. Now, don't expect to get a profound answer. But you see, they've got to know, as the saying goes, that the eyes of Texas are upon them, that some American noticed and is saying, I don't think you're a democratic country. That's good. You've got to shove their overstuffed snouts in the muck. Each nationality has a reputation. Americans are known to be brash and many other things. I've always found Americans in general, very kind people, very generous. But okay, they have a reputation for being brash. French have a reputation for being arrogant. And, you know, it may not be true, but that's a reputation. Well, Canadians like to think that we have a reputation as Canadians for being nice. We're nice people. We are not nice people. Now, you know, there are many nice Canadians, and Monica's among the nicest of them all. But there are many Canadians who are, quite frankly, and I hope this isn't true, conservative in that regard, you're a real shit. This notion that he said something bad, so he should be in jail. There's a lot of Canadians who'd agree with that. Oh, yeah, I've been in the free speech battle for 40 years. And when I first started, there was a widespread agreement to this statement. Well, I may not agree with him, or I think he's an idiot, but he's got a right to speak. A lot of people today wouldn't say that. They'd say, well, what he said was inappropriate. What he said was offensive. Or, I don't feel
hurt
safe
my feelings.
For what he said.
Hurt,
he
my,
hurt
feelings.
My feelings. Or he, yeah, I'm sexually dysfunctional. I mean, I'm sexually confused. He made me afraid. The Canada of 1983, when we started, is radically different from the Canada today, and many Canadians are just not nice people. And they would be entirely cool with Les Beanley being in jail. So, well, you know, Americans can help. Well, actually, Canadians can help, too. Americans can help by writing to one of our diplomats, or if your local paper will publish it, a short letter saying, I'm very concerned about our neighbors of the North. Are they becoming a totalitarian country? And give the example of West Borey.
Yeah, Paul, one of the most bizarre things that people said to me, like in my old hometown of Jasper and elsewhere too, they would say, oh, you see, there's proof that you are wrong, and yes, the Holocaust happened, because look, you went to jail for it, so that's proof. And so they will also use that funny logic with people like Les Borey. Well, they put him in jail, so that's proof that he's a bad man. This is a very strange logic. People have been, I don't know, their brains have been completely destroyed by all the psychological warfare, and maybe on top of that, all the poisons we're ingesting. But, you know, I mean, obviously there's lots and lots of people who are smarter than that and have woken up. But unfortunately, there are far too many people that have that very, very strange logic that say, oh, he's in jail, so that proves he's bad, or that he's a criminal or whatever. Like, that's just such strange logic. But anyway, I would say there's something else. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
That's very much Canadian thinking. A lot of people, Monica has nailed it, would say, well, he must have done something wrong. That's why he's in jail. there are many simple-minded people. When Monica's brother Alfred was a political prisoner in Germany, patriotic Canadians had protests outside the German consulate in Vancouver and in Toronto. I was involved with the one in Toronto. My good friend, the videographer Brian LaRue, was involved with the one in Vancouver. We didn't, you know, the system didn't fall down because we had a protest. But don't kid yourself; it got noticed. Another person who almost became a political prisoner was Lady Michelle Renouf in Britain. She was actually being charged in Germany, or was about to be charged, for comments she made at the Dresden Memorial. And there were protests for her. There was quite a lot of noise made. And we had a protest in Toronto. And the next day, I'm kind of simplifying, but the charges were withdrawn. And she believes that the public knows. See, the thugs don't like it to be exposed.
Well, we're going to go to our last break, Paul, and when we come back, I'll make a comment on that, and we'll go back, I guess, back to Sister Monica. Be right back, folks. That's Hold right. on to your seats.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I tell you what, this broadcast going all too fast. I would just like to make a quick comment on what Paul and Monica have been talking about. You know, these people are so hot to arrest our people, the people in Canada, like Paul said, and I'm sure it's the same way here in the United States. They'll say, well, Leslie, he must have done something. He's in jail, isn't he? You know, I mean, but you know what? I would like to ask those people, I'd like to ask the people that are in jail, these consulates, like Paul said, we should write people at the Canadian consulates, you know, and I'd like to ask them, okay, let's just say somebody gets in that makes our Fuhrer Adolf Hitler look like a Boy Scout. Then, and they start coming arresting you on trumped up charges, then the shoe's on the other foot. Are you still going to say, well, he must have been the person who arrested him. He must have done something wrong because the people having me, he's in prison after all. He's in prison for saying that that he loves his mother on Mother's Day, and that's bad. I mean, that's just an oversimplified example. But anyway, you could maybe try that on him. Anyway, back to you, Sister Monica.
Okay, I only have a couple of brief comments, and then we'll hand it back to Paul. And also, Nancy has joined us, so I think she probably has something to contribute to this conversation. But, you know, we were talking about the pen being mightier than the sword. This is always the maxim that we have been told and that we've upheld for a long time. But I said at the beginning of this hour that I'm really changing my mind about that. But the reason for that is because we are in a war in which our enemy, they do not operate by the same, they don't have the same operating system as we do. Our opponents do not operate with conscience, morality, ethics, or honor like we might on our side. Generally, we have these principles, and we just assume that they would have these same principles, and that's why the justice system right now, which is in the hands of the enemy, it doesn't work for us anymore. Now, I'd like to add to what Paul said. These are very, very good and very important things to write to consulates and whatnot, and many people did that when I was in jail, and I really do think that made a difference in terms of shining the light on what was going on. However, I would all, well, not however, it's not a but, it's an and please pay heed to Leslie Borey's message, and that's why I'll just repeat, go on the BitChute platform, Brantford News, and find just type in Brantford News and you'll find his channel, and it would be his last two videos there. It's 1 hour each, and pay heed to the message. And that's I'll pass it on now over to Paul or to Nancy. You've just joined us. Did you want to say something first and then back to Paul?
I just have a couple suggestions. First of all, I did listen
and watch the YouTube, both of the YouTubes, and I think I hope that people will listen to them. Now that's Brandford, Brandford News. Is that what it is? Brandford News.
Branch, like Chief Joseph Brandt, Brandford News.
Brandford News. That was excellent. I especially enjoyed the first hour of Leslie Borey. The other one, maybe not quite so much, but at any rate, I think another thing that we could suggest is for people to actually write to Leslie Borey if we know how to write him. That would be helpful to his psychology and make him feel that he has supporters. I don't think we should be worried about the fact that he's in Canada. It doesn't matter if he's on the moon. We need to support our people. It doesn't matter. We could say, well, he's not an American. What does that matter? He is one of our people, and we need to support him and encourage him to give him the feeling that he does have people on the outside that are trying to help him. I mean, that's my opinion.
Thank you, Nancy. That's really, really important. I can't believe I forgot to say that, because for me, it was my lifeline, the letters that people wrote. So that's very, very important. Thanks. And, Paul, maybe you could tell people where they can write.
I wish I could. Nancy is so right. I'll give you my email, and this is really important. I'll send you Leslie Borey's address. It's Leslie Borey, Maplehurst.
Monica or Eddie can put it on the, maybe they can put it up somewhere. Paul, if you've sent it to me, I can forward it to my list, but it's not a very comprehensive list. That's the thing. I don't have thousands of people on my list.
I'll send it to you, but the other thing you could do, I have a very simple email. It's paul@paulfromm.com. That's paul@paulfromm.com. And just ask me for Leslie Borey's address in prison. I can send it to you. And as Monica knows, those letters mean so much. And another political prisoner of ours up here in Canada, he's out now, but my friend Brad Love, he's the inveterate letter writer, and that gets him into trouble. When he was in prison, he would get letters from around the world. And believe me, he was a hero in prison. These people who are in for beating up their wife or some other nonsense, they couldn't believe this guy. Well, what are you in prison for? Well, I was writing letters to the editor.
another thing, Paul, it worries the officials. It worries the officials. It makes them a little bit uncomfortable when they know, people all over the world know about this man. Yeah.
Believe me, the prison staff take note. The prison staff say, holy cow manure. This guy isn't, you know, like the average drug addled loser that we've got. He's got pals on the outside. And that's something you can do. I mean, all you have to say is, I've heard about your case. I'm on your side.
That's right.
A whole lot.
You know, Paul, I want to commend you, because I know that you and I go way back in time, and I commend you. I know that you've been fighting a good fight for many, many years, and I think it's wonderful. I think it's admirable, wonderful what you've done over the years. And we're still standing, and we're still fighting the good fight.
Paul, how long have you been doing this? Since the 60s, I believe, right? The late 60s, 67, 68?
Me? Yes, that's right, in one way or another. One of my first actions was with a group called the Friends of Rhodesia.
I bet that's how we knew each other. That may be the way that we knew each other. I wrote to the Friends of Rhodesia many years ago, too. Yeah.
I still tingle when I hear some of those Rhodesian patriotic songs. I mean, wow. There's some. to think of that, there is never more than 300,000 white people in Rhodesia. That's probably the population of Louisville, Kentucky, maybe. And the things they did, they had an army. They manufactured practically everything because of the sanctions. 300,000 people.
And, well, they were fantastic.
When I think of, they
Paul,
were
could you send us some of that music? If you send us some of that music, I'll have it put on our radio show. I'll have it put on as bumper music.
I think you can find it. You can find it on the internet, I'm pretty sure. One of them, of course, was a Rhodesian Light Infantry. You probably, I'm sure you know about John Coey, John Allen Coey, who died, an American died, killed over there at the last minute. They did some fantastic things, jumping out of airplanes that were very close to the ground. That was another thing they did. Everything they did was on the shoestring. You know, they just did fantastic things in Rhodesia.
And you know what they had that really interested me? They even had cavalry on horses. Obviously, on horses. We used to think the last cavalry was perhaps the First World War, although there was some cavalry at the beginnings of the Second War. But they selectively used people on horseback because it gave them an advantage in the Bush War. It was just fantastic, and I just detest the white traitors, like our own Prime Minister Mulroney and others who betrayed Rhodesia, the British, and of course your Henry Kissinger and the Lopper.
You know, back on another subject, Paul, what you said about theory that the Soviets had of keeping the criminals on the street and putting the politicians behind bars, you know, that's very interesting and certainly equals what is going on in America today. We've got the criminals on the street and people are afraid to go out, especially in urban areas. And it's an interesting theory. I hadn't considered that Solzhenitsyn believed that was done on purpose. Well, we do know that in this country they like to let the criminals out. But I hadn't thought of that as a communist philosophy. But I can see it works because people today are living in fear, basically fear, because of the criminal element. We had last weekend, we had 14 people, I think they were killed, 14 to 17 shot in 9 different locations in Louisville. And then on that previous Monday, we had a shooting at a bank downtown. So Louisville is a hotbed of violence. And, of course, people today who live outside of downtown Louisville, they're fearful of going into the city. And I didn't realize that this was a red philosophy, but it could it's certainly working.
Anarcho-tyranny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And Francis had it called right.
Destabilizes everything. And like you say, Nancy, that's a very good point. It just keeps everybody in fear. And we know that they want to have everybody in fear all the time. It lowers our, it makes us unhealthy. It's just all around a bad place to be, is in fear all the time.
Yeah. You know, there's a great psychiatrist by the name of McDonald. He wrote a book on the United States of Fear. He talks about, I didn't realize this, you know, fear becomes like a drug. It's addictive. Some people, like, they won't take their mask off or their COVID. Common sense, logic, facts will mean nothing to them because they're so addicted to the chemicals that are involved in that fear. But his name is McDonald. He's a psychiatrist. He's pretty well known. But I'm getting out of the way, you know. But I would love to get some of that Rhodesian music, some war music, and get it on our. We need some new bumper music.
I send it to you, Eddie?
You can send us. I think we're up now. You can. I'll give you my other email. I think I know our website's up now, but our emails are forever down. I'm Eddie at bloodriverradio.com, or you can send it to my phone. You have my phone number? You can send it to, like, as a text message, and I'll get it uploaded.
No, I can't because I'm a technical peasant. Eddie, E-D-D-I-E?
Correct. Eddie at bloodriverradio.com. And
I'll send it to you there.
Hey, you call me anytime. Anytime you want to be on the program, you let me know, brother. Thank you so much for coming on,
okay.
Paul. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sister Monica.
You're welcome. Good to talk to you, Paul and Nancy. Bye-bye, Eddie.
Hey, bye-bye now. Folks, we're transitioning to the third hour. And hang on, it'll be Nancy, Gene, and we have a new guest coming up, Mindy. Be right back, folks.